Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You're listening to the Sitting in the Park show with Bob. Right now I have on the phone Ron Renfro, who was a member of the Chicago group The Deltas. Ron, are you out there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Bob?
Okay, cool. Thanks a lot for being on the phone and doing interview. So right now we're going to be talking about your group The Deltas.
Okay.
For a little bit. And getting the story of your group. So you guys were from Marshall High School, right?
Absolutely.
So you were one of the many the many groups that we talk about here that were from Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the story? So you guys, when were you in school, first of all?
Well, we first got together around maybe 66.
Okay.
Yeah, 1966. We graduated out in, like, 69.
Okay.
And from there, we hit the road.
So the group formed while you were in high school, is that right?
Yes.
So it originally formed, and you weren't, like, one of the original people in the group, is that right?
Right.
But then you joined the group, and your group had strong connections to the group, the Five Wagers, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So what was the story behind that, like, how the group formed into the connection of the Five Wagers?
Well, the Five Wagers were, they were a top group there in Marshall at the time.
Okay.
And the Deltas were together, mixed with both group family members. And so what they did was, some of the guys in the Wagers were Deltas.
Okay.
And they, you know, they changed over, and they formed another group, and they asked me to get in the group, the Deltas, and it was an honor to do that.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I remember when we talked to James Westbrook up in here.
Yeah.
He said he was originally a member of the Deltas before
right.
he became one of the Five Wagers.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the ultimate lineup of the Deltas that ended up recording initially?
Okay, that was myself, Ron Renfro. That was Mac Minor, the bass singer.
Okay.
Carl Bradshaw.
Okay.
Larry King.
Okay.
Willie Brown, which was Lee Henry Brown. He was in the Five Wagers, their brothers.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So that was the initial lineup of the group.
Uh-huh.
So you guys formed in high school, and did you have any, how did you form? Did you have any other previous singing experience, or what happened?
Well, no, well, we all basically was in church.
Okay.
You know, gospel group. And we just finally got together, and we had a lot of jamborees at Marshall.
Okay.
And that's when a lot of groups would get together and show their talents, and that's basically where we started.
Okay, so you started singing just kind of like in the lunchroom and at the jamborees,
right.
that type of stuff?
The jamborees every year at Marshall.
Okay, so then you eventually formed a group and you decided to, you know, actually try to stick together and become a performing group, right?
Absolutely.
Because there was a lot of groups that were high school groups that just never did anything, right?
Right, but they were good, but they just didn't fell by the wayside.
Okay, so were you doing shows and stuff after you were in school, or what happened?
Well, after we graduated, we was with Donald Clark, and he had a review that we used to do school shows. He'd have us do it at high schools, grammar schools. You know, we have a show in the morning and show in the afternoon for the kids.
Okay.
And basically that's where it started from, with Donald Clark.
Okay, so he was a guy that put on shows that you were in a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you hadn't actually had a record out yet, so it was probably...
Not yet.
You weren't like a big time group. So then you graduated around 69, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your first record came out around 70, 71.
71, uh-huh.
And it was on a label called New Chicago Sound.
Right, New Chicago Sound.
That's the same label that Barbara and the Uniques were on.
Right.
They
were a great group.
So on this record, it's kind of like a funky Temptations type sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's a record called Do What Comes Easy.
Yeah.
And I see Gerald Sims actually produced the record.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the publishing is Iceman Music, actually. I don't know if that has anything to do with Jerry Butler or
yes,
anything.
Yes, it did. It was in his studios.
Okay, so you recorded this in Jerry Butler's studios.
Right.
And I see the writer of the song is Chuck Jackson.
Chuck Jackson.
Yeah, I was the famous sort of Chicago songwriter with Marvin Yancey. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I'm going to play this record, and we can talk a little bit more about what happened after the record came out and what the story was behind the record.
Great.
Okay, so this is your very first record. This is The Deltas with Do What Comes Easy.
Saying it again. Do what comes easy before. Do what comes easy before. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Way to the top, the heart as you think if you do.
Okay, we're back on the phone with Ron Renfro, a member of the Deltas. You're still there, right, Ron?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. So that was just your guys' first record.
Oh, yeah.
Called Do What Comes Easy, kind of funky Temptations type sound on that record.
We loved it.
So first of all, what's the deal? How did you get signed up with that record label?
Well, we worked for a gentleman. He was manager. His name was Bill Parker.
Okay.
And him and another gentleman, Leo Westbrook, had the record company, and they formed it called the New Chicago Sound.
So that label was owned by, but you said Bill Parker and
yes.
Leo Westbrook, is that
yes.
Okay.
And he was one of the main club owners that we used to work all the time with the Wages and different other groups, and they formed the company with Marvin Uniques, Vince McCullough, and the Deltas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you just knew him through performing at his clubs?
Yes.
So you didn't have like a manager at that time
yes,
or anything?
Well, we had a manager. His name was Mr. T.
Okay.
He was friends of Bill Parker.
Okay.
And we performed for him, and he loved it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and you were telling me that guy also managed, like, Ruby Andrews, is that right?
Ruby Andrews, right. Mr. T managed Ruby Andrews, yes.
Okay. So you guys recorded this record, and we never talked about who sang the different parts on the record.
Okay, well, I did the lead.
Okay.
And with that particular tune, we had switched leads.
Okay.
So I was the lead singer, and Larry King was the first tenor.
Okay.
And we had Carl Bradshaw was second tenor. Willie Brown was the baritone.
Okay.
And Mac Minor was the fantastic bass.
Okay, yeah, you could definitely hear the bass. Definitely like Temptations type sound, with the bass on that record.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you had a record, first of all, did it get play in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good in Chicago.
But it was mainly like a local hit, right? You didn't get national distribution on that?
Right.
So after you finally had this record out, did you start doing a lot more shows?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh.
Go to Guys and Gals, Bonanza Lounge, High Chaparral.
Okay.
Different big places, yeah.
So those were like the main places that you played, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember playing with any other groups that you did shows with?
Oh, yes, the Five Wages.
Okay.
Other than the Five Wages, well, you know, other big acts that would come to town, we would be like the opening acts for them or what have you, you know, Lost Generation, The Chimes, we work with Major Lance, and, you know, a lot of groups.
What about, you were label mates with Barbara and the Uniques, right? Did you ever
yeah.
do shows with them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and you were telling me something about Battle of the Bands.
Oh, yeah, that's in the Five Wages. Yeah, we'd set up a big show for the Battle of the Groups. And
when do you remember when that was?
In the late 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that was
a lot of fun doing, you know, battling each other.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, and where was that show?
Well, we have them at different places, the Guys and Gals, Bill Street.
Okay.
Lounges, you know, different places.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this first record came out around 71.
Right.
And then you didn't have a second record until 1977.
Mm-hmm.
So what was happening in between that time?
Well, we were basically just traveling, you know, working with different people, Otis Clay, and, you know, through the South.
Okay, so you actually traveled south and did a lot of shows there?
Right.
Okay. And then your lineup changed for the second record, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the membership change that happened?
Well, the only one that we had to really change was Larry King.
Okay.
We had got Tony Perkins.
Okay.
And,
He did a great job.
So what part did he sing on the record?
Well, he did second tenor.
Okay.
And Carl Bradshaw went up to the first tenor. We could switch around when needed.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So do you remember anything about how you got hooked up with this second? Actually, maybe I'll play the second record, and then we'll talk more about it.
Okay.
So this second record came out in 1977, and it's a funk record.
Mm-hmm.
Called Do the Spank, which I guess, you know, was obviously the big dance in 77.
Right. Yeah.
So this is the Deltas with Do the Spank, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the record when we go back in the air.
Okay.
One, two, stay in the pocket.
Okay, we're back on the air with Ron Renfro, member of the Chicago group The Deltas.
Oh, yeah.
That was just the last record you guys released from 1977.
Mm-hmm.
That was Do the Spank.
Do the Spank.
Yeah, I guess the Spank was the big disco record at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the big hit, I guess, was by Les Pamplemousses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that record came out, and the label it came out on was a label called Magic Touch.
Right.
I don't know if you remember how you got hooked up with the label, but I think it was run by a guy named Lenny LaCour, and it was originally actually a Milwaukee label because like Harvey Scales and the Seven Sounds were artists on the label.
Uh-huh.
And then in the late 70s, I guess they started doing Chicago stuff, like The Brighter Side of Darkness, his last record is on that label.
Right.
So I guess you were one of the Chicago groups that he had recorded on the label.
Yeah, we was lucky to get in there.
Yeah, especially because by the late 70s, the recording industry in Chicago was kind of dying off, right?
Yeah, disco was coming in.
Yeah, and like we talked about this in a lot of the interviews, like how the Five Wagers, they actually moved to California for more opportunity because all the recording companies and clubs were shutting down in Chicago, right?
They were, yeah.
So what was happening with you guys? Like you guys were probably it was probably more difficult for you guys to find work too, right?
Well, it was, but we stayed together as much as we could, you know, doing little club events, New Year's Eve, you know, special events,
okay,
parties and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess how long did the group stay together?
Oh, we've stayed together at least all the way up until the 80s, because a couple other guys moved to California in the group.
Okay.
But the three of us stayed together and did shows.
Which three guys?
Me, Mac Minor, and Carl Bradshaw.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, cool. So, so I guess that's sort of the end of the story.
Absolutely,
about your group.
Yeah.
So what are you doing today involving music?
Well, now I'm traveling with a group called the Motown Review.
Okay.
And we do like the group... I work with some of the guys from the Sister Stage and some of the guys from my group.
Okay.
And we do like the Temptations, and they have a group for the Four Tops.
Okay.
You know, different groups.
Okay.
And it's a nice review. We work all over.
Okay, and you were telling me you do shows nationally, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did the Super Bowl party, not the actual halftime. But we went to Florida and did the last Super Bowl. And it was nice. They had a big grand party.
You're saying a party for like the players and stuff?
Right, the players, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's cool that you're still singing in a group, you know, like keeping that sound alive.
Oh, it feels good too. It's something that you just don't want to let go, you know. I love it.
Yeah, I mean that's what I on the show I try to play these group records because definitely there aren't people making the sound right now of modern R&B doesn't sound like the groups aren't the same. It doesn't sound the same as it did.
No, they're talking now.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the phone and telling the story of your group.
Bob, thank you very much. And without you, I don't think we would have got this far. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to get these stories out, you know.
Absolutely.
So this last record I'm going to play is the B-side of your Magic Touch record that came out in 77.
Okay.
This track is called Gonna Move On.
I just can't take it no more. I've got to. I've got to do it.
Sometimes, baby, I just can't figure it out. The thoughts of you are in my mind. They're filled with doubt.